Thank you, everybody. My name is Manos Antonakakis. I'm the principal scientist in Damballa INC, and I'm concluding my PhD in Georgia Tech. Today, I'm going to present COPIS. It's a new system that we developed among with my peers, and enabled us to detect malware-related domain names in the upper layers of the DNS hierarchy. So this work was made possible mainly due to my peers, in particular Roberto Petrici from University of Georgia, Wenki Lee, my advisor, Nick Vasiloglu, a fellow researcher from Damballa, and David Dagon, who requires no introductions. I will outline my talk by just briefly stating the main components. I will start with my motivation, the contribution of this work. I will then move into the basic notation we actually used and the data sorts that were we need to actually validate our findings, and then I will elaborate in the internals of the statistical systems that we actually use, and of course the features that help us detect malware-related domain names in the upper layers of the DNS hierarchy. I will spend most of my talk on the results that we actually were made possible with this system. In particular, I will briefly talk about the detection results. I will analyze the detection of a DDoS botnet, a rising DDoS botnet, a commercial DDoS botnet from China. And then I will actually introduce a couple of other botnets that we actually took down, sorry, we detect using this tool after the submission of the paper. So motivation, most of us know that, you know, static domain name and IP blacklist, it's really hard to actually keep up with the agile nature of the modern threat. Malwares are actually changing, a lot of domain names. Very frequently, it's really, really hard to actually scale. Also, we observe that there is a gap between when a malware is actually released and when the community finds out about this related malware, this malware threat. So furthermore, from the point of view of authority name servers or TLD operators, we also can actually observe that theoretically, it should actually be, there should be a deviation between traffic or DNS lookup originated by humans for benign domain names that actually leads to benign sites versus the domain names being looked up by automata, malicious automata in particular, that actually have a spreading phase which actually would actually mandate a diversity in the daily request, diversity of the request that we actually observe at the higher level of the DNS hierarchy, but also frequently changing the people who actually look at those domain names simply because machines are getting remediated, but also, you know, some cases you have a machine being just, you know, failures, OS failure, will actually cause certain parts of this botnet to actually just collapse. So the question that actually we have here is, can we actually statistically model this signal so we can actually enable an early warning system by utilizing data from the higher part of the DNS hierarchy? The answer is yes, and that's what COPIS does. So a very basic observation that we actually did with this work is that, first of all, DNS is a distributed hierarchical database. Therefore, there must be a place in the DNS hierarchy which will enable you to actually have global visibility from the point of view of who is looking up the domain names. That point in the DNS hierarchy is the authority name servers and the TLD operators. Someone would actually say, yes, it could actually also be the roots. True, the roots could also have the same visibility. The problem is with the roots, the caching effect is too high to actually make that signal significant. So the goal of this system is twofold. First of all, we need to actually detect some the malware-related domain names as they arise from the point of view of a spending malware campaign, but also without the waiting for a related a sample to actually appear in our feeds. So summarizing the contribution, COPIS should actually be able to analyze stream of DNS traffic from TLD operators and authority name servers in order to be able to create a new alternative classification signal that is not based on the traditional IP reputation that most of the reputation systems are using right now. That if we manage to actually do that, we would be able to actually detect rising the domain names from the point of view of large authorities without, again, the need of a malware. I'm going to spend a couple of minutes to clarify, actually, the difference between systems like copies and exposure notice and exposure and versus copies. So notice and exposure actually are a system that can be applied typically at the recursive on an ISP, at the recursive for a large enterprise. What that means is that they will actually have almost global visibility from the point of view of zones that they were able to observe. For example, they will actually see zones from .ru, .cn, various authorities that would typically a white hat would not have access to. But on the other hand, from the point of view of the requesters, their view is extremely, extremely small, simply because they will actually see the requested diversity only from the point of view of who is actually, about the stubs that is that are being served by the recursive. So in this case, for example, if those two recursives were actually a large ISP recursive, you would actually have the visibility effectively of the stub resolvers utilizing that recursive. On the other hand, copies moves up higher in the DNS hierarchy at the authority level, at the authority name server level and the TLD level, and it actually utilizes it mandates a global visibility from the point of view of the requesters who actually generate lookups to those domains and has a very focused visibility on the zones. So that system can actually provide statistical results and predictions on domain names that actually are only on that zone. So effectively, the systems are complementary, they're orthogonal, and as we just explained, difference in visibility enables different features with complementary detection abilities. Then I'm gonna just briefly talk about the internals of the basic BT blocks and what we actually define as an authoritative name tuple. So most of you should actually know what the resource record is. A resource record is effectively a mapping from a domain name to an IP. Now, in our analysis, we need to actually factor in the requesters. So therefore, we actually set the authoritative domain name tuples, which actually is, they can actually answer the following question: who is looking up what and where that is pointing? So in our case, you actually take the resource record and effectively you append the requester in the beginning of the resource record. So effectively, by doing that, you actually can summarize the signal that you are actually getting from the authority. And of course, you as we will see in the next slides, you also reduce the overall volume of the data you actually have to analyze because you do duplicate on that. The data that we actually use for this study are obtained from two different sources. First of all, the two major authority name servers in the United States, and at the Canadian TLD via the Security Information Exchange from ISC. So let's talk about copies a bit. So as I said, we actually obtain traffic from the authority name servers and the Canadian TLD, and we actually throw this information into the feature computation module, which actually creates the authoritative domain name tuples that we just briefly introduced. Now, once you actually have that, you can actually start computing a certain set of features. And in our system, we actually use three different feature families. The first is the requested diversity, the requested profile, and we also have some features that actually summarizes the IP reputation of the R data, the last part of the resource record. So when you actually do that, we can actually create the necessary vectors in daily basis by the stream of traffic that arrives in our collectors, and we actually have a learning module based on which we can actually see, using a knowledge base, which domain names under our authority are being used by malware and which domain names in our authority are used for benign purposes. Using those two sets, we can actually effectively train the model for benign and malicious activity, and then the statistical classifier over a period of 5 days will actually provide results about new domain names arriving in our authority. When we start working with the data in the lower right side, you can actually see two very interesting observations regarding the diversity of the autonomous system and the diversity of the networks that the domain names actually generate in daily basis. And we actually observed, despite the fact that we have roughly 1.3 million unique Q names in daily basis, the ones that were actually queried by multiple different locations, therefore they had diversity from the point of view of who is looking up those domain names, were roughly close to 10,000. So from our analysis, we can easily analyze only those set of domain names because those would actually correspond to a new rising botnet, and that's exactly what we were looking for. So let's talk about the statistical feature families just a bit more. So the regulatory diversity simply characterizes the machines from the point of view of how diverse are the requests that are looking up those domain names that we try to actually model. The requester profile simply determines whether the requesters for given domain names are potentially belong to a network that is well secured. For example, historically, we haven't seen a lot of infections from that network versus networks that typically have a large participation of malicious domain names being looked up from those IPs. And also, as we were actually, I will elaborate on both modules in a bit, the requested profile module help us to detect, to prevent trivial evasion for our system. And finally, the last feature family that we actually use is the IP reputation. IPv4 has already a well-established IP reputation, and we actually factor that in into our modeling. Now, I want to actually spend just a few more minutes on the two new feature families, which is the requested diversity family and the requested profile. So this is a CDF on two of the features. In particular, this is the AS diversity and the CC diversity, the country code diversity, from the point of view of benign and malicious traffic. You can actually see that the benign traffic with green, it has like a bimodal distribution. So effectively what that means is that you would either have domain names that they are a bit diverse from the point of view of they have a small visibility, but it's significantly local, or you will actually have benign domain names that have tremendous visibility. It's worldwide. So effectively almost all of our networks are actually touching those domain names. On the other hand, you actually see the malicious domain names to have a diversity spread across the entire spectrum of the CDF, which means that they're not localized in the top or in the lower part of the distribution. So the requested profile features effectively what they do is two things. First of all, you actually can see whether historically a certain IP, a certain recursive, were participating in a lot of lookups that correspond to malicious domain names. Therefore, you can actually profile the network that actually this recursive is actually serving is probably not secure. It's an ISP or it's an open network or whatever, an academic network. On the other hand, if you don't see historically lookups, that means that the network actually that the recursive is serving is probably protected. Furthermore, if you actually notice in the paper, we have the weighting function, which is which actually enables us to actually take certain recursive more to actually score certain recursive as more important than others, simply because they were present historically in our data sets, for example, through the last few weeks. And to do that, this is extremely important, simply because if I want to actually, I could easily trivially dilute the signal of the diversity by just spoofing a lot of IPs, and theoretically those IPs would actually try to actually look up domain names in our authorities. But the requester diversity module, the requester profile module, enables and gives certain weights to recursive that have a large spectrum of Q names, that look up a large spectrum of Q names under our authority. And effectively, that would actually prevent any type of dilution from potential people who try to actually evade our system. Now, I'm going to spend the rest of my time in the results, and I'm going to start by presenting some of the detection accuracy of the system. First of all, how we actually define the temporal window of the 5 days. We actually did tenfold cross-validation on the training dataset, and we actually saw that after the 5 days, the accuracy of the system was fantastic. If you notice in the results, we didn't limit ourselves on the tenfold cross-validation. We actually evaluated the system in multiple different modes, and I'm not going to go into the details of each one mode. I mean, the paper is there. You can actually go and if you are interested, to actually go and check it out. But I will summarize everything by the figure in the lower right part, where you can actually see that throughout the evaluation period, we still were able to actually maintain the false positives below 1%. There were cases that the false positives reached that point, but it will never exceed that point. And also, at the same time, we actually managed to actually have very, very high true positive rates. Now, in the remaining of my presentation, I will actually talk about a few bottlenecks that we identified, starting with the IAMDDoS. So IAMDDoS, in the upper part, you actually see the rise of the botnet. In the lower part, you actually see the botnet after 1 month of activity. So instantly, you actually see, depending on the spreading campaign in this case, you instantly see a diversity from the point of view of people looking up the domain names related with the malware. At the same time, caution you to actually remember the networks in the Eastern Asia, where you actually see a large participation, a large cluster of IPs there looking up in tremendous volume domain names related with this botnet. Now, as you actually see, summarize this detection, you can actually see that from the left upper part, that the overall volume of raw lookups to this for these domain names in this botnet were roughly in the order of hundreds of thousands. When you actually abstract that into the authority name tuples that we actually defined, you can actually go down to the point of thousands. Now, what that means is that we had traffic only for two authorities in the United States. We didn't get traffic from .com or .net, but this gives us hopes that even in a TLD like common net, you can theoretically, tolerate the large volume of lookups that such busy TLDs are actually exhibiting. Furthermore, you can actually see in the next three plots the CIDR diversity, the autonomous system diversity, and the country code diversity as the botnet grows. And you can actually see that all of them follow the same trend. An interesting observation can be made from the lower part of the on the right side of the presentation on the slide, that you actually see that everything rises from China. Okay, so the botnet rises from China, and it's interesting to actually observe that the first 1,000 raw lookups appeared in the United States 20 days after the beginning of the botnet, which actually means that you have the ability throughout these 20 days using a system like Notos to actually proactively identify and flag something as potential malicious. And I think that's the biggest, one of the biggest merits that this actually system provides us with. Now, the question is when we actually saw the first malware. So in the left side of the presentation, you actually see the distribution of the malware as they arrive in our malware feed. The first malware appeared roughly a couple of months after the first lookup for the botnet happened, and it's funny if you look at it. It actually follows the same growth distribution as the botnet. So as the botnet gets bigger and bigger, you actually see more malware samples appearing, and then when it reaches an equilibrium, it goes down again. In the lower left part, you actually see the overall distribution of the deltas between when the copies flagged something as malicious and when a corresponding malware appeared in our malware feed. And you can actually see that the vast majority of the cases, within 5 to 10 days, the malware actually appear in our feed. But there is a long tail, and that long tail sometimes might be interesting, because you might have something out there spreading relatively in a low fashion, with a low trend, and it could actually be up to 2 months before you actually see a corresponding malware for that threat. Now, this is a new botnet that you're the first guys who actually see this in public. This, we called it H1 botnet. It was roughly in the order of 5,000 machines. It was active for quite some time. We discovered that in December, mid-December 2010, and we found a malware around February. There are several CNCs hosted in this, actually operated with this botnet. One of them was in the United States, one in Saudi Arabia, another in China. Note the diversity on the lookups in daily basis. That's exactly what we try to actually model with the requested diversity features. Note at the requested profile features. Note the Eastern Asia, the large participation of recursives from Eastern Asia looking up domain names for this bot. Another botnet that we actually discovered, and you're again the first guys to actually see this, this is called Lenovo botnet. We actually discovered that sometime at the end of August. A corresponding malware appeared to us in November 2010. The point with this botnet is that we don't only going to see things that are extremely noisy, because someone would actually say, okay, the botnet that you're actually tracking right now could actually be, they are very, very, very noisy. In reality, you actually see here that anything that deviates from the bimodal distribution of the benign domain names, we can actually effectively flag it as potentially malicious, assuming, of course, all the features actually comply with this detection result. In this case, you can actually see that we need just enough diversity to actually flag something as malicious. And in this case, this was actually taken offline when the overall infected population was roughly 1,000 bots. Now, this is the most interesting case. For this botnet, I don't have a malware. We informed the authorities, we informed the registrar, and we said, there's no web server running on these domain names. There's no IP running on these domain names. It was active for multiple months. We don't have a malware for it. Do whatever you want to do. And he said, okay, let's suspend the domain names and see what we actually get back from the guys who actually registered them. He suspended the domain names, nobody complained. So apparently, this must be a botnet. I think this is, again, you can actually still see the diversity on the lookups, and again, you actually see roughly the same networks which are open and not well protected, again, in the Eastern Asia. Now, let's talk about some false positives. This was the biggest false positive that I had throughout my not evaluation mode, rather in the real world deployment mode. So this was a phishing campaign, a brand hijacking campaign, which they were using domain names outside our authorities, the authorities who actually monitor, and they were using CNAME chain to actually point those domain names into domain names in our authorities to actually, so if the domain name from the CNAME was actually suspended, they can easily replace that with another domain name. So the overall campaign was active for more than 2 months. Unfortunately, this was actually flagged as a malicious domain names, and what we've learned from this is that especially in authorities that actually use multiple different, we should actually include different type of thread feeds to actually label the data and include different cases, not only malware domain names. So we enrich our knowledge base, and I think we can actually right now exclude false positives like this from phishing campaigns. The only surprising thing here was that it was active for more than 2 months, and I would expect a phishing campaign not to be active for so long. Conclusion, as you actually see, there is a large number of, need for additional classification signal for multiple reasons to actually make evasion harder from the point of view of attackers, but also to actually keep up with the threat landscape because it's rapidly changing. Great observation was that there are malware out there for multiple months before you actually see a related malware appearing there is a botnet rising for multiple months before you actually see a corresponding malware for that botnet. And the main contribution of our work is that we actually are able to actually provide the system to the authority name server operators or the TLD operators to actually build independently models and effectively clean their zone if they think they can actually do that, if they want to actually do that. Finally, copies can be used as an early warning system that actually detects domain names before they actually hit your own recursive, assuming you actually have the necessary visibility in the upper parts of the DNS hierarchy. And the system, as I said, we evaluated it in all possible ways that we could evaluate the system. Quite low false positives, very decent true positives, make it a viable real world system. Thank you very much. I would like to take questions right now.
Mark Eisenbarth, Hewlett-Packard. I have a question specifically about the initial part of the talk where you talk about leveraging these higher authorities, essentially. Have you considered using the start authority data from the actual lower tier host? And regardless on the answer to that, I'm curious if that data is trustworthy at all.
No, I haven't considered that at all, actually. But as I said, I mean, as long as you actually have visibility throughout all the name servers that a given authority is actually using, I don't think you have an issue with the quality of the data. The only issue I can think of is if a TLD operator, it's a big TLD, for example, is they're using any casting, so they have multiple different servers. You have to assume it's under the same authority, so you have to assume that you have to actually be able to collect all the data corresponding to that TLD. So that's the only limitation I can think of.
Thank you very much.